Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The votes in South Dakota have been counted and the unofficial results are in. Today we welcome leadership from the South Dakota Democratic Party to In the Moment. Pam Cole is Executive Director and Nikki Gronley is Vice Chair of the party. Pam, welcome back to In the Moment. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Lori. It's great to be here today.
And Nikki, thanks for being here as well.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right, we'll get started. Yesterday we had Dan Lederman on with the Republican Party. At that time, he was confident about some races that at the end of the day, when the votes were counted, did not go the Republicans' way, including District 14 and Aaron Healy, Jamie Smith, and Linda Duba from District 15 and Rennell Nessebo were some of the races that we were talking about. All those Democrats went on to victory after all the votes were counted. Pam Cole, it's been a wait as Minnehaha County sifted through many, many absentee ballots. Tell me a little bit about what waiting was like for you.
Well, we knew full well that there, you know, all of these votes were not yet counted, and I had, there was some anxiety, but I knew that some of our great leaders would continue to rule the day and go forward and continue to do the great work that they started the last 2 years and that they will continue to do. So, you know, I'm not sure I had any major surprises in Sioux Falls and around the state. We are a party that's rebuilding, and we have amazing people that have, for the most part, they're running for the first time. Of course, we have some new incumbents, you know, with Aaron Healy and, you know, other leadership that are pretty new at all of this. But we had an amazing slate of candidates that I've been on the phone with, you know, yesterday and today to thank them for running, to encourage them to continue to serve in leadership. So honestly, I feel a very strong sense of determination and absolutely not defeated. So I know that we have a wonderful core group of people that will continue to move issues forward with us, and we'll be partnering with them. And we have many, many volunteers that will also come to the table and support them. So, you know, there's lots of ways for our leaders and our active people to serve.
Nikki Gronley, talk a little bit about that energy with a core group of people, because, you know, with the national votes for president still being counted, with many of the issues that were on the 2020 ballot here in South Dakota, and then some of those key races and just the challenges of getting out the vote and during the pandemic, what has the
sure.
trajectory been for you and the
Absolutely.
Energy in the virtual room? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, when so many of these people decided they were going to run for office, it was back in January, February, and they had no idea the challenges that we were going to run into with COVID and trying to run in that situation when you have a bunch of new people who are stepping up to run, and they're trying to just build name recognition in the beginning. And so many people who would have done your door knocking and, you know, having conversations with people right at their front door, we're not able to do that. So it definitely was a challenge for us. The other thing I see here is South Dakota loves President Trump. And what I really think you see here, and we're going to have to dig into the numbers and look at this, but overwhelmingly, Trump supporters came out to support him, and they voted, it seemed like, straight tickets down. And so I think, you know, the passion behind his presidency showed up in this election, and we realized that and knew that that was going to be kind of an uphill battle. But we've got some really great qualified people here, and they've been through it once. They've learned a lot, and I think we're going to see a bunch of them run again.
Yeah. Pam, what does a loss mean? Someone like Kelly Sullivan or Michael Saba not regaining their seats, that does sting for the Democratic Party and for those candidates. Tell me a little bit about how you process a loss in one of those districts.
Yeah, certainly. I actually went through that myself, having served 2 years in the state Senate. And then, you know, my good friend Larry Tiedemann and I ran against one another two times. You know, and I honestly felt coming out of that that I was continuing to do my part. So I'm going to ask them both, you know, and whoever else, all the candidates that ran, you know, to continue to do their part. And, you know, each of them, you know, and those two in particular, they have passions for certain things, certain areas, and they'll just, you know, come and help us formulate bills, plans, you know, cohesive caucuses that can work on. We have a wonderful platform with our party, you know, and I'm going to ask them to continue to do what they can when they can. That was a motto that I always used. You know, kind of getting to what Nikki was talking about, that we are coming out of, you know, very divisive 4 years of a Trump presidency. That, you know, is a difficult challenge, I think, for our country in general, but South Dakota in particular. And honestly, you know, Democratic values are South Dakota values, and we do see progressive change happening. We see that with initiated measure process. For goodness sakes, they just voted to change our Constitution. So, you know, I'm assessing that too, and I realize that Democrats, we have a much lower voter registration than Republicans straight head to head. But there's this entire area of non-affiliated voter that is absolutely thinking for themselves, and quite honestly, they're leaning toward progressive change. So that is something we're going to be focusing on really closely and watching that as a party. And we are continuing to bring more and more people into our party. So reaching out to young people, you know, that have all this passion, and we're trying to put that into play, you know, and then reaching to our Native leaders. I mean, if you see who our legislators that will be serving, a lot of them are Native, and they are profound, amazing leaders. And I've got to know them the last half year, and they are doing great things. They will continue to do wonderful things, and we're just going to keep opening up and bringing more people into our party.
Nikki, Pam mentioned, you know, constitutional changes to the Constitution or initiated measures, and of course marijuana through initiated measure 26, medical marijuana and constitutional amendment A for recreational and hemp and medical marijuana all passed. And we've been talking this week about money that flowed into that campaign. So two questions here, and one is about money, and you're going up against this, you know, well-established Republican machine, you know, coming after intentionally people like Aaron Healey in District 14 or Michael Saba, and fighting back against that. But then also there is evidence that with the right amount of money and coordination, there is an issue that people will show up and vote for, even if they're voting straight ticket. So let's unpack some of that, and let's begin with the rebuilding of the party's financial resources. How much does that kind of investment make, Nikki?
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing, you know, when Randy Seiler and I came into this last December, when we were elected in, of course, the party had gone through the issue of financial strains, things getting behind, and the first thing that we had to deal with and get into was, you know, shoring up the financial stability of the party. And really, in a very quick time, we got that taken care of. And it was a matter of reaching out to our Democrats across the state, asking them to come along, help us with this, get us back on track. And Randy's leadership was key on making that happen. Throughout the year, we've seen, you know, consistency in the dollars we have coming in every month from all the great help we have across the state and our members, and that continues. When we talk about our candidates and trying to, you know, overcome the dollars, one thing that we saw in Dan Aller's campaign is he had, I want to say, around 10,000 individuals who stepped up to support his candidacy. As we continue to build our membership, and during this year, we have seen a slight increase in the number of Democrat registered voters, we are going to continue to build that base who, you know, they might make a smaller donation, but that means more people coming together to help our candidates. And I think that says something about Dan, that he had so many individuals. And I think the average give, you know, was like an $11 give. But I think we continue to build that. We're not the party of, you know, special interests. We don't have big dollars coming in from out of state. And it's really about engaging our base and bringing them to the table. And they feel part of it then.
Pam, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I would absolutely say that the South Dakota Democratic Party, we are the party of hope of the people, and we are not the party of fear. What I see coming from the Republican side is a constant sense of, you know, that, you know, we want social, you know, we want to bring social programs here. And I don't know a South Dakotan that wouldn't want, you know, their fellow South Dakotan to not have health care coverage. But, you know, here we sit, we don't have all of that covered. And, you know, so for us, it's leadership for everyone, you know, not just that those that look or act like those that are in elected office. Our values are, you know, having great schools with well-trained and well-paid teachers. And that results in young people that can go on to have great jobs and that we can keep here in South Dakota. So, you know, our value system are those types of things, a living wage, you know, making sure that we partner with Native tribes and underserved and, misunderstood populations. So, you know, those, I think eventually that will translate, those issues will translate into candidates that embody those issues. And with added membership and added understanding, as we build our party, we go all throughout state and we continue to build relationships, because that is, you know, that's what I believe firmly in, is building relationships and understanding. That will begin to turn this around. We know we're the minority party, you know, and it's always harder to bring about progressive change than to remain conservative and just stay the same. But the Republican Party right now is not just doing that. They're throwing out fear tactics constantly. We won't do that. We did not send out misinformation on postcards. You know, there's so many examples that we could talk about that is really misinforming voters. We're not going to do that. We're going to stand beside our fellow South Dakotan. We're going to help them to break down their barriers toward their success. And I am extremely determined to do this. So, and I just want to thank you so much for having us today. It's been great to be on with you.
Lori,
Nikki, go ahead, Nikki. Yep.
I was going to say too, you know, you had brought up these initiated measures, which, kind of goes back to, so there are progressive things that continue to happen in South Dakota through those initiated measures. And what it tells me is there's a little bit of a disconnect between the way people vote and the way people feel in this state. And I think what happens is our legislators go off to peer and they do the work there. And the majority of people can't follow on a daily basis what's going on in peer and what's really happening there. And I think a bit of what we have to overcome is making sure people are aware of what's going on, they're educated on what legislators are doing out there, and how maybe it doesn't align with the values and the progressive ideas that they really do have here.
We were listening.
Last point, Lori?
Yeah, go ahead.
Right. One last point that I want to make sure is said today, that, you know, as we look toward leadership and encouraging people to serve, you know, I want a call for action out there in every community in South Dakota, just for people to play their role in supporting their communities, you know, and then just understanding their own areas and their own people and their own communities, and building their own ability to lead, you know, whether that be on, you know, a volunteer board or something to do with a chamber in their or a city council or the school board. You know, it's a blessing to serve on these, and we need people to continue to step up and do that. And I'm just saying anybody and everybody to do that. I'm not saying they have to be Democrats, because I think that builds understanding. And then you are given that responsibility to engage with your own community and help make decisions.
I want to go back to a point that Nikki brought up and ask for further on that and tying into what Pam said about building, you know, the platform for the party and the messaging of that. And Nikki, you said, you know, South Dakotans are very supportive of Donald Trump. Now, that support has eroded somewhat during the pandemic, but by and large, very strong support for the president. When you are talking with other Democrats about some of these really urgent and contentious and controversial issues, how do you have a South Dakota conversation about something like, you know, policing, which might be a different conversation in a different state? But here you are in South Dakota knowing, you know, this might look different. Well, it absolutely looks different here in South Dakota. So, Nikki, tell me a little bit about those platform kind of conversations and how they are different from if you lived somewhere else, even right across the border in Minnesota.
Sure. You know, I think in South Dakota, if we look at our population here, I bet on 80 to 90% of issues we actually agree. You know, we have the same challenges here in South Dakota. And then it's that last 10 to 20 that maybe there's some difference. But the frustration is when at a national level, it's pushed that all Democrats are the same. Well, for example, here I am in South Dakota. I'm a hunter. I'm an outdoors person. I just think when it comes to issues, those hot button issues, like say guns, we have to get to the basis of what we both believe on that topic, and then maybe the areas we disagree. And it's got to get back to better conversations. You know, during this political season, you often see people go to maybe that personal attack, and I really believe, and I believe our candidates have done this too, is we pull back, we make sure that we're sticking to the topic. And now that we're seeing at a national level that we might have a change in leadership, I'm interested to see how that changed things and how it changes those conversations, because we really do need to all get back to having conversations on the policy. And what do we really think on the policy? And we see our Democrats in peer, like a Jamie Smith, who works so well across party lines to make sure that the right things get in place. And it's because they're sticking to the issues. And let's talk about the areas we do agree on. And we might have to have some give and take on those things we don't agree on.
Yeah. We will wrap it up here. And a reminder to listeners, those votes on the national level in some of those swing states have not all been counted. That will continue for days. So we do not yet know who our president will be. Nikki Gronley and Pam Cole with the South Dakota State Democrats. Thank you so much for being here, Pam.
Thank you for having us. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Nikki. We'll see you next time.
Yep. Thank you, Lori.